Good afternoon. Thank you for coming. Our international service. They're getting cold, getting chilly this week, huh?
Yes.
You guys all right? I like cold season because I'm sweaty people, you know. I hate hot. So I feel so good this morning because it's so cold. And I had a coffee this morning. I feel, oh, praise God, I like this cold season. My wife said, oh, bad season coming. She said so right in front of me. She doesn't hear my hard voice, though. But God's grace. We've been married for 21 years. So it's just because of God's grace. Amen. This afternoon, I'd like to open Nehemiah chapter 1. The title is Becoming a Person with Vision. Becoming a Person with Vision. The text is on the bulletin. As you see, the bulletin becomes black and white from this week. Save some money. But it looks great. Let me read Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant and survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. And for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the furthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. I used a different version of the Bible when I make this sermon, so I should ask him my version on my on the bulletin to the to Jim, but the content is the exactly the same. So please apologize the little bit different words I quote. Becoming a person with vision. What is that is broken in your life? Something that needs to be rebuilt. Everybody has something that is broken. The most hopeless people in the world are people who recognize that they have a problem but have no vision from God about how to solve with that problem. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29:18. Everybody ends up somewhere in life. A few people end up somewhere on purpose. Those are the ones with vision. The most practical advantage of vision is it sets a direction for our lives. It serves as a roadmap. Vision provides the push through the problems. Vision provides the energy for the effort. Without vision, our passion leaks, our agendas surface, our production falls, and our people scatter. In the pages of the Old Testament is the journal of a man who stands tall as a person with vision, who rebuilt what was broken. His name is Nehemiah. The name means the Lord's comfort, Nehemiah. Visionary efforts brought comfort to God's people in a time of great need. Nehemiah's hope-filled visionary leadership is a powerful example, no matter what your position in life. Coaches, supervisors, parents, student leaders, executives, and spiritual leaders can all learn from this great man. Let's start by understanding a little about where, when, and how he lived. The setting is about 500 years before the time of Christ. God's people had lived in Israel for centuries before. God had told them, "Obey me, and you'll live in the land for a long time. Disobey me, and you'll be carried off into captivity. That's happened. That's what happened. The Babylonians came and conquered God's people and took the leading citizens 1,000 miles away. But the discipline was ending. Several years before Nehemiah's day, some of God's people were given permission to return to Jerusalem to rebuild a broken-down temple and a broken-down city. But the attempts to rebuild the protective wall around the city, destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC, had been frustrated by some the enemies of Judah. It's written in Ezra, chapter 4. As a result, very few people lived in the captive city. Jerusalem was a city of ruins. Nehemiah lived in the royal city of Susa, or Susa, the winter residence of Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. Judah, the homeland of Nehemiah, was 1,000 miles away. Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. He was more than a butler. A cupbearer held a position of great responsibility. At each meal, he tested the king's wine and food to food to make sure it wasn't poisoned. If he died, then the king wouldn't. Doesn't sound like a great job. But think, a man who stood that close to the king in public had to be handsome, cultured, knowledgeable, and able to advise the king when asked. Because he had access to the king, the cupbearer was a man of great influence. The cupbearer was rather like a prime minister and master of ceremonies rolled into one. Very important person. Nehemiah was the right man in the right place for God to use. He had vision. Vision to see a problem and its solution. And because he had vision, he had hope. A visionary person sees the need. Verse 1 to 3. Nehemiah's routine was interrupted one day by a group of men who had come from Judah. The report was grim. Let me read verse 1 to 3 on my version. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity, and about Jerusalem, and said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Bad news came from Jerusalem. Walls flattered, gates burned, morale low. But Nehemiah cared about the glory of God and the good of the people in Jerusalem. Now he heard that the Jerusalem Jews were living in desperate days. Ruin and reproach instead of a magnificent city. Jerusalem was in shambles, and where there had once been great day, great glory, there was now nothing but great reproach. God was being dishonored as long as Jerusalem lay waste. This was the place where the reality of God's presence would be experienced in love and mercy by those who sought him. It wasn't happening. So Nehemiah was concerned. A God-ordained vision will begin as a concern. Something will bother you about the way things are or the way things are headed. There are far more needs in the church and the world than any of us has time or energy to meet, and no one is required to try to reveal them all. But God's call to serve will be a call to meet some human need. The worst sin toward our fellow creature is not to hate them, but to be indifferent to them. That's the essence of inhumanity. George Bernard Shaw. As you start by the grace of God to rebuild the wall, you must first of all see the ruin in which they lie. Vision is a reflection of what God wants to through us to impact the world. It is not about maintaining the status quo. Living where we live, we can become comfortable. We can lose sight of the need. Do you see the needs that are around you? This is a hurting world. There are broken hearts, fractured families. Do you see the brokenness of humanity? People are looking for meaning and value and turn to heartbreaking things. Visionary person sees the need. And number two, a visionary person feels the needs. Verse 4. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Nehemiah mourned because of the city that was meant to be a light to the nations had become an international joke. Isaiah 24:6-7. Nehemiah was so moved by the need that he refused to eat at least on a regular basis. It was one thing to know that status of affairs in general way. It was quite another for Nehemiah to feel the pressure and burden of it in his own heart. Visions are born in the soul of man or a woman who is consumed with its tension between what is and what could be. Anyone with vision will tell you this is not merely something that could be done. This is something that should be done. This is something that must happen. What makes you pound the table? Angry? What makes you weep? Nehemiah was not the last to weep over Jerusalem. One day, our Lord sat on the slopes of Mount Olive and wept over the city. And the mourned and prayed and sacrificed his life for it. Life's work for God has only begun when they have wept and mourned and fasted and prayed over the revelation of conditions as they really are. You never lighten the load unless first you have felt the pressure in your own soul. You're never used of God to bring blessing until God has opened your heart and made you feel deep sorrow about the needs around you. A person with vision feels the need. And number three, a person with vision shares the need. This prayer is the first of 12. Too often we plan our projects and then ask God to bless them. But Nehemiah didn't make that mistake. From Kislev is November or December to Nisan is March or April is over 100 days, more than 3 months, perhaps more than four. For at least 3 months, then Nehemiah and his friends waited on God, asking each day that God would act today. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. Isaiah 42:6. Prayer helps the vision mature in us. Prayer helps the vision mature in us. Acting too quickly on a vision is like delivering a baby prematurely. They can be weak and not survive. So it is with a vision. Immature visions are weak. They rarely make it to the real world. Through prayer, God goes to work on you to prepare you for the fulfillment of the vision. Vision comes before preparation. But the preparation must come. Why? Vision will exceed your ability. Prayer prepares you for the job ahead, and prayer mysteriously moves the hand of God to work behind the scenes, preparing the way. Prayer helps you distinguish between a good idea and a God idea. Good idea and a God idea. It helps you make sure that you are in line with what God is up to in the world. Prayer keeps us looking. It keeps the burden fresh. It sensitizes us to the subtle changes in the landscape of our circumstances. When God begins to move, we see it. Praying helps us not miss the opportunities that come our way. Let me talk about visionary prayer. It's from verse 5. Visionary prayer exalts God. I said, I beseech you, O Lord, God of heaven and the great and awesome God, who preserved the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Visionary prayer admits sin. Verse 6, let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you. I and my father's house sinned. Verse 7, we have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, and nor the status, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Visionary prayer reveals truth. He reminds God of his own word, Leviticus 26, 40-45, and Deuteronomy 4, 23, 31-6. He dared to remind God of the great deliverance from Egypt. Nehemiah based all the prayer upon God's past dealings, and he saw in them a mirror of God's future plans. Verse 8, remember the word which you commanded your servant Moses said, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the people. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, through those of you who have been scattered or in the most remote part of the heaven, I will gather them from and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Visionary prayer requests help. Verse 11, Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servant who delights to revere your name, and make your servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man. Now I was the cupbearer to the king. Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 30. If the curses were literally carried out, how much more will be promised blessings be fulfilled? When Nehemiah was praying, his burden for Jerusalem became greater, and his vision for what needed to be done became clearer. Real prayer keeps your heart and your head in balance, so your burdens doesn't make you impatient to run ahead of the Lord and ruin everything. As we pray, God tells us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. A person with vision shares the needs with God and with God's people. Verse 11, Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer and your servant and the prayer of your servants who delights to revere your name. Who are these servants who delight in revere your name? They have to be godly friends and associate with whom Nehemiah has shared his concern and who have now joined him in his intense wake of prayer as he pleads with God to act. Followers find the leader and then the vision. Leaders find the vision and then the followers. A person with vision shares the need with God, with people. Number four, a person with vision meets the need. Verse 11b, make your servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man. Now I was the cupbearer to the king. Don't forget that he was the king's cupbearer and he was successfully secure in his own life. Dedication to God's service was the first item. Nehemiah identified himself in prayer as God's servant. And the way of faithful servant is constantly to ask, as Paul did on the Damascus road, what shall I do, Lord? And Romans 12:1-2, living sacrifice. Someone said that prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven, but getting God's will done on earth. However, for God's will be done on earth, he needs people to be available for him to use. God is still looking for people who care. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of the nest. A nest is good for a robin while it is an egg. But it is bad for a robin when it has wings. It's a good place to be hatched in, but it's a poor place to fly in. It's always sad when people don't want to leave the nest of their lives. A person with vision meets the need. Becoming a person with vision. This is the challenge to each of us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you this afternoon. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the service. Thank you that you talk to us through the scripture, through the story of Nehemiah. He's a person with vision. Lord, we want to be like him. We want to know the needs around us. We want to feel the needs, the people around us, the neighbors and families and friends, the people. And also we want to share the vision with you and with God's people, with the people in this church, with our prayer friends. And we want to meet the need, Lord. Lord, we are ready to fly. Lord, give us vision. Show the world around us, not in our nest. Lord, thank you for calling us and calling us fly over you. Lord, we pray now that we can see the people ruined, scattered, discouraged, need help. Lord, let our heart's eyes open to see the needs and not to close and just to see what we are. Lord, make us a man with vision. Make us a woman with vision. And thank you, Lord. You are the one who give us the vision, and you are the one who will lead us into the world with vision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.